Good morning. Just to understand some truth from the Bible about Jesus Christ, who he is, his love for us, what he did when he died on the cross for our sins. Friend, I don't know if you know the Savior, but he's the best person that you could possibly know in life. He knows you, but you don't know him. You may not believe in him, but he didn't stop believing in you. You know, I praise God that God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. The Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing to me that God would not just look at us in our supposed goodness, but that God would look at us in our sin and love us and care for us and do something so extreme as to sacrifice his son in our place. Friends, you might think today that the Romans crucified Christ, Judas betrayed Christ, it was the Jews that hated Christ and put him on the cross. Well, I'll tell you this, the person that put Jesus Christ upon the cross of sin for you was the Father. The Father said about the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But it says in the book of Isaiah that it pleased the Father to bruise him for us. God the Father took his Son, Jesus Christ, and put him on the cross. You might say, Ben, why is that? It's because of our sin. You might look at your sin and say today, Ben, my sin is no big deal. But God says your sin is such a big deal that your sin separated you from him, and that he had to take his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, put him on the cross, crucify him so that we could live. It's an amazing story. If you desire to read it in the Bible, it's found in Matthew 26, 27, and 28. There it speaks about what Jesus Christ did as he went to that cross. Again, it's amazing. As he prayed in the garden, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus Christ, in agony, knowing that the cross was crumbling, asked his Father, "Is there any other way?" There's a lot of people today that think good people go to heaven. I just have one question for somebody that thinks that they're going to go to heaven because of their goodness. And the question is this. Why did Jesus die? Why did the Son of God, Jesus Christ, have to go to the cross and die? He had to go to that cross because the punishment for our sin is death. You might say to me today, Ben, I'm not a sinner. I'm really a good person. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't deny the fact that you might be a nice person or a kind person, but it does deny the fact that you're a good person. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It doesn't matter today if somebody's Mother Teresa or the Pope or some politician or something like that. It doesn't matter who somebody is. The truth is that all have sinned. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we might be kind, we might be generous, we might do supposedly good things, but I'll tell you this, the Bible says that God can't see our righteousness because of all the sin that's in our life. In fact, it says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The reason God says that is because when God looks at us, God can't see the good because God sees the bad. It's like if you had 50% rubbish on your clothing and 50% clean. You know, somebody said, "Man, your clothes are vile." And you say, "Well, no, wait a second. Can't you see all the good stuff?" And they say, "I can't see the good stuff because of all the bad stuff that's there." That's the way God views us today. It's not that God is against us. God is for us. So much so that he stands there with everything that's necessary to clean our life. His blood that was shed, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, taketh away our sin. In fact, God cries out to man. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Friend, God desires to clean you up. God desires to take away the filth that's in your life, that sin that has separated you from God. You might say to me, "Ben, what's the worst thing about sin?" Well, sin brings forth death, but that's not the worst thing about sin. The worst thing about sin is that sin separates you from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, that sin that you hold on to. A lot of people think, "Well, you know, I'm not a bad person. I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery." And yet, the Bible says if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. The Bible says if you hate somebody, it's like the hatred of murder. Jesus Christ himself said that. He said, "I didn't come to take away the law, but I came to fulfill the law." And so Jesus, in his statement, strengthened the truth that will condemn us someday when we stand before God. Friend, if you die without Jesus Christ, there's not a chance in this world that you'll go to heaven. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life." There's a lot of people today that are religious people. And if I were to ask them to say to them, "Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" They would say things like this: "I hope I'm going to heaven," or "I think I'm going to heaven." They would certainly say, "I want to go to heaven," but they can't say those words, "I know that I'm going to heaven." You know, God doesn't want us to have a think-so or hope-so salvation. God desires us to have a know-so salvation. God desires us to know in our heart that our sins are forgiven, that we are rightly related to Him. And I'll tell you, it's a precious thing to be rightly related to God. There are people today, they're seeking highs through drugs. They're seeking highs through alcohol. They're seeking highs through other things. But I'll tell you this, there is nothing that compares with the peace that God gives. The reason they are seeking those things, they are seeking to get away. They are seeking to find satisfaction. But listen, if you try to find satisfaction outside of God, you can't ever find it. Jesus Christ is the water of life. Jesus Christ is the one that satisfies. The pup does not satisfy. Friends that are ungodly do not satisfy. In fact, the things that people defend are the very things that are destroying their life. Somebody that's an alcoholic will testify and say, it's destroying my life. It hurts my health. It hurts my finance. It hurts my status of living, and I'm depressed all the time. They will tell you the end of the bottle is destruction. There are people today, they're drug addicts. It's wrecked their career. It's wrecked their family. It's wrecked their economy. It's destroying their life. And yet, again, there are a lot of people that are seeking the answer in that, and it's never to be found. There are people passing this place today that are in deep debt because they're gambling. Maybe nobody else knows about it, and they can't stop the addiction that's in their life. They think that money will satisfy. In fact, the Bible says the opposite of that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the thing that destroys. That covetousness is the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. God says to be content with the things that you have. You know, there are a lot of people today that think, Ben, why should I come to the Bible? Why should I open the Word of God? Because I'll tell you this, the Bible has the power to change the life of men. The Bible has the power to set you free. The Bible has the power to give you God's gift of everlasting life. The Bible has the power to give you peace in your heart. God doesn't change you from the outside in. God changes you from the inside out. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you bowed the knee before God, recognizing that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross for your sin, but you humbly repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have done that, you know what I'm talking about when I speak about the joy of somebody that's born again. It's a new life. It's a fresh start. Again, there are a lot of people seeking psychologists. They're seeking social media. They're trying to find answers to the great need that's in their life, but they're seeking everywhere but where they should, and that's in the Word of God. The Bible is a manual that God gave to us that speaks to us about Him. That speaks about to us about what He did as He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. The Bible is the answer to the basic question about life, where does life come from? If you ask an evolutionist, where does life come from, there is no answer to that question for them. Because scientifically, we know that life begets life. And if they're going to be honest with the science, they would understand that it took a man and a woman to bring forth a child, that it takes a two cats, two dogs, male and female, to bring forth offspring. We understand that the cycle of life is life begets life. So an honest question to an evolutionist is, where does life come from? There is no answer for an evolutionist. But the Bible has the answer in the first verse of the Bible, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God designed us. God made us. God put us here for a reason. The reason is that we have fellowship with God. The joy of life is walking with God, knowing God. And friend, a lot of people at their deathbed, they want to have that psalm read, Psalm 23, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. All those things about, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and all those things. I'll tell you this today, if somebody isn't walking in the path of righteousness, the Lord is not their shepherd, and it's a sham and a fake to, at their deathbed, to claim the Scripture. Friend, it's better in life to come to faith in God. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Nobody gets a do-over in life. Nobody gets to come back and say, right, you know, I'd really like to do that over again. It's only by the grace of God that somebody could be impacted by the truth of God in this life, repent of their sin, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and be born again. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life, again, where you've looked at the Word of God and understood that there is a Creator, that there is a Designer? You might say to me today, Ben, I just can't believe in God. I just believe in science. Well, does science really teach that explosions make things? Does science really teach that life comes from nothing? Does science really teach that, you know, the apes are our ancestors? The answer is no, but the Bible teaches us about those things and tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Friend, has there ever been a time, again, when you looked at that, you understood that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy work. A lot of young people today are having a crisis of identity, not knowing who they are, not knowing what they are. And instead of parents telling them the truth, we have scientists and supposed social media and government and schools and educators that are perverting their hearts, teaching them untruth and saying that that is factual. They're undermining the authority that's in their life, the truth that's in their life, the truth that God can put there if we be honest with them about who they are. If we looked at a young man and said, God made you a man for a reason. We looked at a young lady and said, God made you a woman for a reason. And God has a wonderful purpose for your life. The Bible says male and female created he them. The Bible says about marriage that marriage is between a man and a woman. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. God desires to establish that in people's lives, and so it's good to promote that with the people that need to hear it. God has power, and he has grace, and he is good. And he loves people, and he desires people to get saved, but we have to be honest about truth. We have to be honest about our life. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And again, somebody is not the worst sinner today if they're a sexual sinner. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is equality at the cross. We're all defiled. We all need the grace of God, but we've got to be honest about where we're at. We can't justify ourselves. There's a whole generation of people that desire to justify themselves in the eyes of men and say, my sin is okay. The problem with that is it never deals with the problem that separates us from God. The problem, which the Bible says, is going to get us eternity in a lake of fire. Again, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Friend, are you ready to give an account to God for your lies? Are you ready to give an account to God for your gossip? Are you ready to give an account to God for your immorality, for your fornication, for your cursing, for your bitterness, for your anger, for taking God's name in vain, for not honoring God in your life, for disbelieving in the God that gave you everything? Are you ready to answer to God for that? Friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not ready for that day. Again, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. God desires you to have that life. That life is not found in a religion. That life is not found in Islam. It's not found in Mormonism. It's not found in Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not found in being a Baptist like I am. It's not in a religion. It's in the truth of the Word of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died on the cross for our sin. What I'm preaching today is not about a religion, but it is about a relationship. It is about knowing God in a personal way because you have humbly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Oh, friend, is that you today? I just say to you today, God loves you. God cares about you. God is not against you. God is not seeking to push you away. But I'll tell you this, your lifestyle that's against God, the sin that you hold on to that's against God, those are the very things that you got to deal with if you want to come to God. Again, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for anybody at any time in this life to repent of their sin, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and have their sin taken away. Sin is a burden. There's a great man of God in England, John Bunyan, that wrote a great book. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. It's an allegory about the Bible. In there, there's a story of a man that has a burden on his back, a burden on his back. He gets to the cross, looks at the cross, the burden falls off. That man's name is Christian. The burden on his back is a picture of sin. Again, a lot of people today say, Ben, why am I so depressed? Why is my life so difficult? I'll tell you this, the number one problem in your life is sin. And if you identify it, then you can do something about it. You can find the mercy of God, the grace of God. But again, in our society is teaching this generation, just cover your sin. Just hide your sin. In fact, promote your sin and act as if your sin is okay. What a sad day we live in, where we don't have parents that care enough for their kids to guard them from social media, to guard them from pornography, to guard them in their virginity, to guard them in their purity, to care about them and teach them what marriage is really all about, that would lift up in their eyes marriage and would get married. We live in a fornicating society. The vast majority of people are sharing a bed with somebody that is not their spouse. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sadly today, we live in a day that is under the wrath of God, not the blessing of God, not the goodness of God, not the grace of God, because we have turned our back on God. Very sadly, when COVID happened, the reaction was great, right? Everybody did everything in their power to get rid of COVID. But you know, greater than COVID, what's hurting Scotland more than that is alcohol. And instead of being embarrassed about it, we got the whiskey trail here in Scotland. We've got pubs that are everywhere. We've got people that are encouraging people to go to pubs and live a defiled life that's a drunkard's life. And yet, if somebody goes to church or somebody picks up a Bible, they mock that person, they curse that person, they despise that person. And I'll just say to you today, what kind of a society is that? What kind of a society that lifts up ungodliness, lifts up drunkenness, lifts up profanity? We got ladies, old ladies in our day that are using curse words. We got young children in our day that are using curse words. There's no shame in our society about our sin. But I'll tell you this, there are people today, they are ashamed of God. They're ashamed of God, but they're not ashamed of their sin. It's a backward society. We ought to look at our life today and say, you know what? What we should be ashamed of, Scotland, is our sin. We ought to be ashamed of the fact that we've turned our back on a holy God. We ought to bow the knee before that God and say, God, dear God, get us back to the place again where we've got strong families in Scotland. The family unit is broken and nobody cares about it. And instead of building it back up, we've got educators and scientists and social media that are breaking it apart, tearing it apart, putting flags up and honoring and bowing down to an ungodly ideology that blasphemes the God that designed us. If we get back to the book, that's where the answer is. The answer is found in God. The answer is found in Jesus Christ and what he did as he died on the cross for our sin. Again, the Son of God became a man. You might say, Ben, what's that all about? He became a man because the punishment for sin is death. And Jesus Christ came to die for our sin. He came as a substitute. John the Baptist, the great preacher, looked at Jesus Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He looked at the Savior and pointed men to him. And I just need to do that a little bit myself today just to say to you, you've got a chance. You might say, Ben, I could never come to faith in God. I don't even know where to begin. Well, begin with this, praying to God and saying, God, would you help me to know about you? God, would you help me to understand you? Then I encourage you, pick up a Bible, begin to read the book of John. In the book of John, it says this. It says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. God desires to bring you to faith, for faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Even today, there might be things that you walk away with, unbeknownst to yourself, that you begin to think about and begin to think, well, maybe there's a God. Why? Because you've heard just a little bit of preaching about God today. God wants to do that in your life. God does not want you to continue on the path that so many are on. The vast majority of people on this path are stepping closer and closer to an eternity without God in hell. God doesn't want that. The Bible says, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The dearest desire in the heart of God is that you would come to faith. That's where the answer is. It's not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Friend, your problem today is you don't believe God. You don't believe in who he is. You don't believe in what he's done. You don't believe what he says about you is true. But I'll tell you this, if you want his salvation, you have to come to faith. Again, you might say to me, Ben, what's that all about? How do I come to faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to pick up the Bible, begin to read it, begin to understand about who God is, and see him not as social media says he is, not as this world identifies him, but as the Bible speaks about him. You know what's sad today is the vast majority of our young people, the only thing they know about God is from RE at school, which teaches liberalism and unbelief and a denial of the truth about God. And what they hear at the sports stadium as people blaspheme God, mock God, curse God, take the name of the Son of God in vain. Friend, when they take God's name in vain, they don't say, oh, Muhammad. They don't say, oh, Hare Krishna. They don't say, oh, the Pope. But they do say Jesus Christ and Lord. You might say, Ben, what's that about? Well, the Bible says, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The reason they take the name of the Son of God in vain is that Jesus Christ is God. Yes, contrary to what Mormons say, Islam says, or Jehovah's Witnesses say, Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has the power that Jesus Christ has the power to save men from their sin. How does he have the power? Because he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. How do I know that? The Bible says when Jesus Christ healed people, they worshiped him. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he forgave sin. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was in glory, he was worshiped. Who is he? He is God. He is God in the flesh. And he died on the cross for your sin. Why? So that you could be forgiven. So that you could be saved. So that God could give you his gift of everlasting life. Oh, friend, I tell you today, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died. Why did he die? He died for you. You might say, Ben, he was a weak person. They took him, they crucified him. He couldn't save himself. Look, that's what those that mocked Jesus Christ said. They laughed at him. They cursed him. They despised him. But I'll tell you this, friend, the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross is because of you. Jesus Christ went to the cross because he loved you so much that he doesn't want you to die and go to a devil's hell. He wanted to do everything in his power to save you from his sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, if you've ever been born again, if you've ever been saved, you know what I'm speaking about. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God has the power to transform your life. Again, God does not reform us. God transforms us. God works from the inside out. And you might say, Ben, God is not here. God is here. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which I preach. God is here. God is present. God is here on the street today. He has the power to save you from your sin. He has the power to set you free. Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven. Friend, why would you go on without God? If I said there's a million pounds down in Princess Street Gardens, you would be down there digging and seeking to find it. You'd do everything that you could. Maybe stop your business, stop your work. Give all your time to digging down there until you got the million pounds out of Princess Street Gardens. I'll tell you, this book has more in it than the greatest wealth in this world. In fact, the Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't matter if somebody's Donald Trump, Elon Musk, or somebody like that. They can have a lot of money. They die without Christ. They go to hell. And friend, that's you as well. There's nothing you can give to God. You might be living your life for things. You might be living your life for sport. You might be living your life for the pub and things like that. But I'll tell you this. On your deathbed, those things are meaningless. Your family's not going to get comfort about the fact that you are faithful to your local. They're not going to get comfort from the fact that you're a great sports fan. They're not going to get comfort from the fact that you worked hard to provide for them. But what they could get comfort from is if you knew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, friend, is there ever been a time in your life where you put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has died on the cross for you? Again, I love that scripture. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You might say to me, Ben, if I would go to church, lightning would strike. If I pick up a Bible, it'd catch on fire in my hand because God is so against me. I'll tell you this, God is not against you, God is for you. You take one step towards God, God will take two steps towards you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me if you search with all your heart. The problem is this today. We've got mom and dads that aren't searching. We've got grandparents that aren't searching. We've got people that are ignorant and willfully ignorant about God. They plug their ears, they close their eyes, and they say there is no God. Oh, friend, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. This world is testifying again and again that there is a God. Friend, if evolution's true, how did we go in 100 years from 1 billion people to 8 billion? How did we go from just crude science to genetic research? How did we go from primitive male and communication to incredible technology and FaceTime in 100 years? If evolution's true, that should have happened millions and millions of years ago. But it didn't. Just when society needed it, the creator designer gave us the information that we needed to sustain life on this planet. This world testifies that there is a God. Beyond that, God gave us a book. We can look around and say, there's got to be a God. We're a person. Every time you look in a mirror, you got to stop and think, you know what? there's a God. Because the Bible says that you're created in the image of God. You do not stand at the zoo, look at the chimpanzees, and go, oh yeah, I really believe those are my relatives. But you look in a mirror and you go, right, you're a person. You've got feelings, you've got emotions, you've got things like that. God designed us with a soul. God made us in His image. Friend, God desires to bring you to faith. God wants you to stop, look, and listen. God desires you to pick up a Bible, begin to read it. That's why He gave it to us. And despite men's best attempts to destroy this book and get rid of it, it is outsold every book every year. It's been translated into more language than any other book. Why? Because this book is the Bible. This book is the Word of God. You might say, well, then it came through men. Well, the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You may not know who the Holy Spirit is, but God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit gave us this book. In this book, human authors recorded these things for us by the direction of the Spirit of God. One of those men was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul came to saving faith as a testimony to us that anybody could get saved. Friend, there may be things about your life that nobody else knows about. It could be gambling, it could be fornication, it could be adultery, it could even be murder or things like that. Nobody else knows, but you know in your heart the wickedness that is in your life. I'll tell you this, God has the power to forgive you of your sin. You say, Ben, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God desires to give you His gift of everlasting life. God desires to forgive you. God desires today to encourage you. Oh, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Again, has there ever been a time in your life where you humbled your heart, you looked at the cross, and you understood that Jesus Christ died for you? A friend, I encourage you to study the cross. Give some thought to the sacrifice of the Savior. You know, very sadly today, there's a lot of people today, if I mention hell, they laugh about that. They mock that idea about hell. They might say, I'm going to go to hell with my friends. We're going to party it up. But nobody stood outside the towers there in London as they burned, watching those people in the windows that were screaming to get out of the plane. Nobody stood there and laughed. Nobody stood there and mocked. Friend, anybody that laughs at hell today laughs at the people that are in hell. Laughs at those that are burning today in the eternal fires from which they will never get any relief. Anybody that's there would plead with you, do not come here. Do not be like me. Do not close your eyes, your ears, and your heart to God. They would plead for somebody to come back, even maybe from the dead, to testify to you about God. And yet the Word of God says about that, if you don't believe the Bible, you're not even going to believe if somebody came back from the dead. Friend, how hard is your heart today against God? How stiff are you in your rebellion against God? You might say to me, Ben, I'm not a bad person. I'm just an atheist. An atheist is somebody that never thanks God for their life, never thanks God for their job, never thanks God for their food, never thanks God for their family, never gives any honor to the God that created them, the God that designed them, never thanks God that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sin so that they could be forgiven. Very sadly, an atheist is also a person that the Bible calls a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You might say to me, Ben, that's kind of rude for God to say that in His Word about somebody that doesn't believe in God. Why would the Word of God say that? Well, a fool is somebody that casts off the only way of everlasting life, that sells away the very thing that can save them, that is faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ. Again, salvation is not in a religion today. It's not in something you do. You might say to me, Ben, I'm okay. I was done for when I was a child. You know, I've been christened, and so I'm okay. The thing is about that, the Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Christening does not save. You are not saved today because you had a little water put on you as a baby. There's nothing in the Word of God, first of all, that teaches pedal baptism, the baptism of children or infants. There's nothing about that. What the Bible does teach is somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ and is a public testimony. They identify with Christ in the waters of baptism by immersion.
I can show you that in the scripture if you're interested in that. But the thing about it is, christening does nothing for you. Going to church does nothing for you. It's not by the works of the law. It's not something you can earn. If you could earn it, you'd stand before God and say, God, you've got to let me into heaven because I'm a good person. God would look at you and say, right, okay, let me tell you the six things that I hate. These six things that the Lord hates. Number one, a proud look. You stand before God and say, God, you ought to let me into heaven because I'm a good person. You're a proud person because you don't understand that the Son of God had to give his life on the cross for your sin, and you think your goodness deserves the mercy of God. Friend, there's no such thing as your goodness. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is on equal ground at the cross. We're all sinners. Every single one of us has to confess our sin to God, repent of our sin, and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And without that, we can't be saved. And again, I say to you today, you might say to me, Ben, I'm a good person. You know, I might be an atheist, and I just think, you know, if there is a God, that God's going to look at me and say, you know, I get it, you're a good person, come on into heaven. The Bible says there shall not enter into it anything that defileth. The Bible says all liars are outside of it. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'll tell you this today. If you say, I'm a good person, the Bible says you're a liar. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has to understand before a holy God that we are ungodly, that we are in our sin, and that Jesus Christ is the only remedy for our sin. And until we run to the cross and look at Jesus Christ and take by faith the Son of God, if we die, we die in our sin. You might say to me, Ben, what's the problem with that? Dying in your sin. The problem with that is God would have to say this to you. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God does not desire to do that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that verse does not mean that nobody's going to hell. The Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Few there be that find it. There are very few people today on their way to heaven. Again, the vast majority of people today are on their way to hell. It's only through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us that we can have our sin taken away. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the work that Jesus Christ did as he went to the cross, there's no way for anybody to be forgiven. But I praise God today that it's absolutely true that Jesus Christ on the cross died for us. Friend, he died for you. He made a way for you to be forgiven. You know, he made a way, the only way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not a way. He's not a good way. He's not the best way. Jesus Christ is the only way. That's why I can say with the authority of the Word of God today, salvation is not found in a false religion. There are a lot of religions today that deny the Christ. They deny Jesus. They deny who he is. And our world says tolerance means this. We got to say that everything is equal, that all things are right. That's just not good in any way, shape, or form. That's why we're in a society that can't identify male and female, can't identify what marriage is. What is good is to look at the truth and say, let's study what the Word of God says about the Creator. And the Bible says this about the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A lot of people today say, Ben, if God's the creator, why is the world like this? Why is there death, sorrow, sickness? Why is there war? You know, did God mess up or something like that? Friend, that's like going down to the National Gallery down there and somebody broke in, they put graffiti all over somebody's work, and somebody's saying, look at what this idiot painter did. They painted all this graffiti onto their work, and the creator would be there with tears in his eyes looking at it and saying, no, that is not what I did. My work is marred. It is marred by man. Friend, that's what happened to this earth. Every day God created, God said it was good. But man marred it. How? With their sin. Our sin brought death. God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there's one tree. It's not an apple tree. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve were warned about that. But they did what you and I did, and that is they exercised their will against God. They disobeyed God. Death, sorrow, sickness, war, disease, all those things are a result of our sin. And friend, it's worse than that. It's worse than that because it's not just physical death. Physical death is coming. You know, you don't know your birthday before you get here, and you don't know your death day until it comes. Sadly today, there's people that are passing this place that may be very close to that day, and they're not ready to meet God. Friend, I just encourage you, you never know when that day would come. There's a great saying, you should be prepared to meet thy God. Right? Be prepared in your heart to stand before God and to give an account of your life. Friend, if you die in your sin, you're not ready. If you're going to give an account to God for your fornication, your drugs, your drink, your profanity, your indecency, immodesty, ungodliness that is in your heart and life, I'll just say, friend, you're not ready to stand before God. But God wants to help you to get ready. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. He made a way for us to be forgiven. And again, it's not a religion. It's not baptism, it's not christening, it's not doing a bunch of good things or something like that to try to earn favor with God. There's nothing that you could do to earn favor with God. The only thing you could do today is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin. I'll pray, my prayer for you would be that God in his grace would reach out, touch your heart, and begin a journey in your life of seeking after God. Again, the Word of God gives you encouragement about that. It says, if you seek me, you shall find me, if you search with all your heart. But how many people today do you know that are seeking after God? The vast majority of people in this world are just like you, perhaps, and that's somebody that never thinks about God, never gives God the time of day. They're busy 24/7. They've got their sports, they've got their kids, they've got their work, they've got their drugs, they've got their drink, they've got their immorality, they've got their television, they've got their internet. They have no time for God. But I'll tell you this, friends, when you die and it's your funeral, none of those things are going to be a thing that defends you when you stand before God. A lot of people say, Ben, I'm okay in my sin because society has justified it. Society has said it's okay that I'm in sexual sin. It's okay that I'm perverse in my heart against God. We've got flags that wave that banner. We've got the politicians that got my back. We've got social media that got my back. We've got schools that they've got my back. But I'll tell you this, none of them are going to stand and defend you before the throne of God. You're not ready to give an account before God. We are telling our society you're okay to live a life of rebellion against God. Friend, government is not the absolute authority. Social media is not the absolute authority. Educators are not the absolute authority, but God is. God is the one that gave us his law. Jesus Christ is the one that said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. That our society is sexually perverse. It's very sad to me that as a preacher, I have to address sexuality as part of my conversation, but the truth is this: the news is promoting sexuality, social media is promoting sexuality, our schools are promoting sexuality, they're perverting the hearts of our kids. But where are parents that are concerned about that? Where are parents that say, wait a second, I believe what the Bible says about marriage between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship for life? Friend, we live in a very, very perverse society. Really, it's quite amazing that God has not destroyed us. Read the Bible. Read about Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a city that was sexually perverse, so perverse that when men came into that city, they pounded on the door of the house where they went and asked that those men come out so that they could rape them and sexually molest them. We live in a society like that. We live in a society where children are molested. We live in a society where there's deep ungodliness that is taking place. There's perversion taking place in the educators educating our kids in sexual perversion. We're in a very wicked society. What did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible says that he rained fire and brimstone upon that city. In his mercy, the righteous were brought out of that city before the judgment of God came. Friend, the judgment of God is coming again. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. There in the book of Revelation, it says when the judgment is coming, there's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world religion. Israel's going to be back in the land. Friend, what do you find in our day? We're coming to a one-world government. We're coming to a one-world religion. And Israel is back in the land. What other nation has been dispersed, kept their national identity, and returned to their homeland? You know, the only one is Israel. You might be against Israel today. That's up to you. Whatever your position on it, that, whatever the case is. But the Bible says that Israel's going to be back in the land. I'll tell you this about the Jews in whole. The Jews were the ones that crucified Jesus Christ. The Jews still to this day, many of them still reject Jesus Christ, though some have accepted him as Messiah. There's going to come a day where the Jewish nation as a whole is going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That day is coming. Friend, the Bible speaks about it. Friend, there are things happening today that God said 2,000 years ago would take place. You might say, Ben, what's that about? In the book of Romans, read Romans chapter 1. A society that gives itself over to idolatry, turning its back on God, is a society that is given to the sin of homosexuality. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Women with women, the same. The Word of God speaks about it very clearly and says, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. That is not written by somebody in our day. That is written 2,000 years ago in the Word of God. And it's exactly what we see today. You know, the number one story in our society is sexual perversion. And it's just like God said. Friend, that kind of thing ought to make us step back, look and listen, and say that book, the Bible, has to be the Word of God. Because only God could do that. Friend, in the book of Isaiah, 600 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, it spoke about the crucifixion 600 years before it took place. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 22, it says about Jesus, it says, they pierced his hands and his feet. It's written by King David. You can study yourself. A lot of people today say, Ben, I don't know much about the Bible. You know, I've heard some things, but perhaps you've heard Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Friend, Psalm 22, it says they pierced his hands and his feet. It says they cast lots upon his vesture. Psalm 22 is written by King David. It's written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ went to Calvary to die on the cross for your sin. Again, you might say to me, Ben, I can't come to faith. But I just encourage you to pick up a Bible. Read the book of John. It says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You might say, Ben, what's the big deal about faith? Faith is how you get saved. Faith is how you have your sin taken away. Faith is how you receive Jesus Christ into your life and have a transformed life. It's called being born again. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. Jesus said to a religious person, he said, you must be born again. He didn't say, you know, that's a good option for you, Nicodemus. You know, you're a religious leader, you're a teacher of the Bible, things like that. He looked at this man that was a religious man, and a lot of people today might think, well, you know, if I'm religious and I go to church and I do certain things, that God accepts that and gives me salvation. That's not how you get salvation. Salvation's not found in the religion. It's not found in goodness. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. What he did is he died on the cross for your sin. Oh, friend, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Have you ever read it? Have you ever taken the time to pick up a Bible and to begin to read about the Son of God, Jesus Christ? The Bible speaks about Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. Why did he come? Why did he come to earth? He didn't have to come. You know, he was in the glory of heaven. The Bible says about Jesus. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is eternal because Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ came, why? So that he could be a sacrifice for our sin. Because the punishment for our sin is death. See, somebody had to die for our sin. You could die for your sin. You could die and go to hell. You could die and suffer the eternal death that the Bible speaks about. But God does not want you to do that. God would rather have you repent of your sin, put your faith in his gift that he gave as he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and receive his gift of everlasting life. Well, friend, God loves you today. A lot of people again say to me, Ben, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't want anything to do with me. If you understood about my wife, God, maybe they feel like God is against me. God is not against you. All you got to do is look at the cross. All you got to do is understand that Jesus did that crucifixion, not for the good people, not for his disciples. He did that for sinners. In fact, the Bible says about Jesus, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came out of a desire in his heart to try to rescue you, to try to give you truth in your life that would be transformative, that would make your life everything that he desires it to be. A lot of people say, Ben, if I got Christianity, if I got saved, my life's going to be miserable. I'm not going to be able to do all these things that I want to do. I'll just tell you this. When somebody gets saved, God gives them right desires. God changes their appetite, and it's satisfying. It's wonderful for a husband and wife to have a strong marriage, to have a good family, because in the mercy of God, they got saved and they realized they were in sin and they got that right and they got married. And all of a sudden, the kids are looking up to that mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad love each other. They've entered into a covenant relationship. And as a family, they begin to read the Bible and understand who God is and encouraging your kids in faith in God. Friend, it's a great thing. Well, friend, today would be a great day. It would be the day of your salvation. The Bible says the angels rejoice over one sinner that comes to salvation. Oh, friend, I pray that sinner is you. I pray that you in your heart understand the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the goodness of God. Father, I pray you for the power that you give to your word. I pray, may the authority of the truth of Scripture touch hearts and lives. I pray, Father, for a day of revival in Scotland. I pray for a day of awakening by your grace. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Down here sharing some truth from the Bible, speaking about Jesus Christ, who he is, God's love for us. You know, I praise God for his love that he shed when he shed his precious blood at Calvary. It's amazing today. Again, a lot of people today think God is against you, God's not for me, God doesn't want anything to do with me. I'll tell you, friend, if there's anything between you and God, it's on your side. It's not on God's side. God has done everything he can to bring you to saving faith. God gave us his word. God gave us testimony in the sky and creation that there is a God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You know that beautiful sunlight that came through this morning, we saw it this morning, the sun was rising, that red sphere that there, you know, the moon is the perfect size and the perfect distance away from the earth to perfectly cover the sun. You know, all that is to testify to us as men that there is a God, that there is a creator, that there is a designer. But then God went beyond that, and God gave us a book to testify to us specifically about who he is, about why we need him. You know, a lot of people today, they can live their life in ignorance about that, and live as if there is no God. But for anybody that desires the truth, there's a manual. You know, I say to people, our church is very close to IKEA. I wouldn't encourage anybody to go to IKEA, buy a flat pack item, and try to put it together without the directions. But there are a lot of people today trying to put their life together without the manual that God gave to us, the manual that tells us everything there is to know about our life. Well, friend, is there ever been a time when you picked up this book, began to read it, and began to look into it? The book of James calls this book a mirror. A mirror of the Word of God. And for us to look at the mirror and just walk away does nothing to change our life. But when we look at the mirror of the Word of God and acknowledge what's there, then this book has the power to transform and to change our life. Well, friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you came to faith in not just God, but in Jesus Christ? Ever a time in your life where you repented of your sin and put your faith in the Son of God? Again, without that salvation, without that repentance and receiving of God's eternal gift, we're not prepared to meet God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. There are a lot of people today, they're religious people, but if you were to ask them, you know, are you going to go to heaven when you die? A lot of those people would say, well, I hope so, or I think so, or I want to. And obviously, I hope that everybody today would say, I want to go to heaven. But the truth be told, they don't know in their heart that they have what God desires to give them. Friend, God doesn't want you to hope so. God doesn't want you to think so. God desires you to have a no-so salvation that is based upon your reception of God's gift. The Bible again says that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to that cross so that we could be forgiven. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, that's one of the great promises of the Word of God. You can put your name in that scripture and say, for God so loved Ben, Mark, Mary, Jane, whatever your name is, put it there and just understand that God loves you so much that he sacrificed his Son so that you can